Well, listen, if you don't know me, my name is Pastor Lindsay, and I'm an assistant pastor here at New Life Church. I'm excited to preach on Back to School Sunday. I never preach about going back to school. Because I've been teaching for a long time, and I don't really need any more tips for how to teach or anything like that. The only thing that gets me through a school year is Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to preach on that today, because the Holy Spirit is what I need. What I need so desperately. It's what our students need. It's what our families need. We need the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but there are some seasons and some times that I've gone through in my life where I have felt a little bit like I was in a desert. Anybody ever been there? Everybody's like, yes, last week it was 115. Did you go outside? I did. I won't talk about why I had to go outside, but somebody made me, and it was unfair, and I didn't like it. Because it's hot. And when you're hot, it's like no matter how much water you drink, you're still thirsty, right? It's like you cannot get enough water. Because when we get so dried out, what happens when something gets dried out? It starts to break. It can't stay together. It begins to break. I want to look today at one of my favorite stories in the Bible, Ezekiel chapter 37. Y'all know it's hot today because I have my old lady fan right here blowing on me while I preach. Ezekiel chapter 37, the story of the dry bones. It's one of my favorite stories in Scripture. I love the Old Testament prophets. I love the way that they use illustrations and examples to help the people of God understand things. So in Ezekiel chapter 37, we have a group of people who are in exile. They have been strung and strode everywhere. They do not have a place of their own. They have been beaten in battle and broken down and all apart, and nothing is going right for God's people. And the prophet Ezekiel is shown a vision. And we want to break this down today. And we want to see what can God tell us and show us about the power of his Spirit in our lives. What can we learn? Ezekiel chapter 37, looking at the first three verses right there. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Can they live? It's important to note here, he does not say he saw skeletons. He saw bones. These were pieces, broken pieces scattered across a valley. This was not an ordered graveyard. These were broken pieces of bones that you could make out, but these were not skeletons. And God asks Ezekiel, can these bones live? And Ezekiel responds in the only way possible. You're the only one that know that. I don't know that. Can these bones live? I don't know where you all are today. And you may be here, or you probably, if you're not here today, you've been there. On that moment when life is lifing, and you have that moment that says, can I live through this? Can I? Can I live through this? And it is a question that we all face. And let me tell you, with the way things go in this world and in this life, and we know that we are not promised that everything will go perfect for us, we know that we are going to face moments in life where we run up against it, and the question we are going to ask ourselves is, can we live through this? Can we? And so God looks at Ezekiel and he says, can these bones live? And Ezekiel says, only you know. Only you know, God. So God begins to tell Ezekiel how life comes to these bones. Let's look in verses 4 through 6. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So God says, Ezekiel, can these bones live? And Ezekiel says, you got me. And so God says, let me tell you how these bones are going to live. Prophesy to them. Now, prophecy and prophesy have all these kind of strange connotations of what they mean or don't mean. In this particular context, it means to say that something will happen. To say that something will happen. And so here's what I want to just pause here for a moment. We're going to have a couple pauses in here to point some things out. I want to pause right here. If you have some dead things that you are dealing with, you need to begin to prophesy to them. That means speak to them. That doesn't mean think about them. How many of you know we can think a thing to death? I can think through something and end up, I don't even know. I mean, gosh, anybody else a member of the overthinking club? See, some of you are trying to think about whether you're in that club. You are, right? Now, a few of you are not, and that's okay. The rest of us are doing the job for you and everyone else, right? We can think and think and think, but what this tells us here is if something is dead and it's going to be brought to life, you must prophesy to it. He's telling Ezekiel, you're going to have to prophesy to these dead bones. Now remember, Ezekiel just looked at him and said, only you know if this can live. Because all he sees is bones. But God doesn't just see bones. And he says to prophesy to them. And he gives them an order. The first thing he says is, tell these bones to hear the word of the Lord. This is important. You can hear a lot all day, every day. You can hear people. There are 942 million podcasts on everything. I love a good podcast, right? You can hear your friends. You can go in Walmart and hear things you didn't know or need to hear. You can hear things all day. So it is important to acknowledge and recognize what God is saying here. When we are facing hard death situations, we better first hear the word of the Lord. Because God's word is first and foremost where life is. Now, I'm not saying that preaching and podcasts are not good for you. Those things are great. But ultimately, the word of the Lord does not return void. His word is good for correction and teaching and everything. Your first source has got to be the word, and especially when you are going through hard times. Hear the word of the Lord. Then he says, he will bring breath and life. Then he says, I will put tendons and flesh on. And then once again, breath. Now, as a teacher, I know if I repeat something more than once, that's important and you should make a note. Breath is important. And he says that after this, you will know he is the Lord. I don't know about you, but there have been some situations in my life that it was very evident that it was only the Lord. It's only God. The fact that I got through certain situations was only because of the Lord. And when something that felt or was dead has been brought back to life, that is only because of the Lord. So in your own life, right now, today, the awareness that you have of God and his goodness is only because of the Lord. The breath in your lungs today is only because of the Lord. We have to recognize and know the Lord. Now, this is what he's telling Ezekiel to do. This is what's great. Could God have gone out there and told these bones to come together? Yes. He's God. He could do it. But he is not the one doing it. He is telling Ezekiel to prophesy to these bones. He is empowering him to be someone who gives life, who speaks life. So he tells Ezekiel what to do. And guess what? Ezekiel does it first time. Amazing. Students, listen. First time he did it. Didn't pause, didn't ask to repeat. He just did it. Let's get to that. Verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them. Skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Now, wait a minute. We had an order earlier. It was, hear the word of the Lord. Breath, then tendons, then breath, then no. Okay, now wait a minute. He prophesied and the bones came together, which is awesome. How cool was that? Remember, these weren't skeletons. Now all of a sudden we've gone from a pile of bones to bodies with flesh and tendons all connected and assembled together, but there's no life in them. Hey, together is good, but there's got to be more. Now, I want to tell you really quickly, another pause right here. Our world loves to present a picture of people whose lives are together. Man, the TikTok, the Instagram, the Pinterest. I mean, you just open anything and it's going to tell you how everything is supposed to be put together. Everything is supposed to be put together. And as someone who is notoriously not put together, right here. That's one of those things. I would look at houses and living rooms and other people's outfits and think, how do they do that? How are they so put together? But pause here and realize that things can get put together but not have life in them. Put together is great. It looks good. But if it is absent of breath and life, it is nothing but a picture. And so, this world is full of things that are put together and ways to put your life together and all the different things to do to assemble yourself into the correct order that you should be in. Well and good. But together is not life. And it's important to pause and know this. Where was the life? And so we have this reference here in Mark chapter 8, verses 23 through 25. Jesus is performing a miracle on a blind man, and he says, he took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" And he looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes, and this time they were opened. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Don't quit. Don't settle for half of the full life that God has for you. Don't settle for being half alive. We're not going to stop here. This was not when those bones got put back together and flesh on them. That was not the stopping point. That was not the full list of what God said was going to happen. They were not alive. You can't stop there. You cannot stop there. Listen, I want you to tell you, remember, you got to hear the word of the Lord. Anybody else have to turn down the music to see where you're going? Okay, young people are like, what does that mean? Your time is coming. Your time is coming. Where you cannot see a street sign if the music is loud. I don't know how to explain it, but it's true. So here's the same principle in reverse, right? You got to be still to hear. Now, I know we all know this, because if you ever tried to tell something to a child playing video games, if they're moving and not looking at you, they are not hearing you, right? If you're going to hear something, you better be still. You got to find a way to be still. Go sit in your car and turn the Bible app on and let it read to you if your house is loud. You have got to find a way to hear the word of the Lord so that you stop settling for what is not God's word or believing things that are not in line with his word. You've got to have the word hidden in your heart so that everything you face and are presented with filters through the word hidden in your heart. You got to hear the word. And so here we know that if he had stopped here, he would have had a bunch of bodies, but there's no life. So God comes back to him in verse 9. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet. Finally, breath. Just add breath. There was no standing until breath came. What does breath mean here? It literally means spirit. God's spirit. That word spirit means animation. It's what gives life. It is a gift of God. Our spirit is the seat of our will where we make decisions from. And it is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. That breath in you is not, that's not it. It is the Spirit of God being brought into them. The Spirit of God. That word spirit in the Old Testament, ruah, also in the New Testament, pneuma, is the same word that we see in Romans 8, verses 9 through 11. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit living in you. These are the same words, the same meaning. The breath of God, the Spirit of God living in us. It's what gives us life. I've had days where I was breathing, but I was not living. We have all walked around in life in days where we were breathing, but not living. And those are the days when we're asking ourselves, can we live through this? How can I keep doing this? It's so hard to live without the Spirit of God. I am not a perfect person. Try to hide your shock. I am not perfect. I make mistakes. I will never be everything that everybody may want or need me to be because I am a human. And while my body is together, it is only the Spirit of God in me that helps me to truly live, that helps me to persevere, that helps me to overcome, that helps me to live any day with purpose. And so it says at the end of there, it says they stood to life on their feet, a vast army. Oh, I instantly get like, I'm in the Lord's army. You're out. And listen, maybe that's true, but I'm not a fighter. I mean, I say that. I mean, yeah, somebody said, yes, you are, because you can catch these hands. I mean, let's be real. It could happen. Totally true. Not really, but maybe. So, but listen, I'm not an army fighter, okay? I'm not an army fighter, right? I've never been able to walk in a straight line. I was that kid in kindergarten, straight line, and I'm out here because I need to see where we're going. Right? I'm not just going to walk in line. That's crazy. I got to see where I'm going. So when I hear this word army, I'm like, does this mean an army? But let's look at these. The word army helps us to make sense. But this word army, ha'il, in the Old Testament, it literally means things like strength, ability, wealth, force, and army. Army is one facet of the meaning. So listen, when we hear these and it says, they stood on their feet, a vast people with purpose. They stood and with the breath of God in them. Now they were not just bodies. They were people with purpose, with strength, with force, with abilities, with wealth. They had a purpose, not just fight. Because let me tell you something. When it comes to fighting, we have to remember what the Word of God says is we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities in heavenly places. So let me tell you, while I'll gladly protect you and get in front of you, me and Tammy, we got you. We will throw down if needs be. The real reality of the situation is you don't need my fist to protect you from the enemy. And I can get as angry as I want about a situation, but I cannot solve it in myself. I have to fight with the strength of the Spirit, with the abilities given to me by the Spirit, with the wealth given to me by the Spirit, and with the force that comes from having the Spirit of God inside of me. Some of the most powerful people I know were the smallest people. Miss Betty Lovett would not even say we could have a retreat. We had to have an advance. And she was small and kept vanilla wafers in her desk. And frail in the end of her life. And yet, she was a woman of force. Because she prayed with the strength and authority and force of faith to know that she was empowered by the Spirit of God. My grandmother read the Bible through every year, and she was a woman of faith. When she called me and prayed over me, I felt the breath of God blow into me. Because we do not fight this world with our fists or with our opinions. Your opinion ain't saved nobody. Y'all know I say it every time. Quit giving people your opinion. They need Jesus. And if you will let the Spirit of God rule your life and direct your path, He will put people in your path who need the Spirit of God in them. We have a lot of people walking around here dead. And they just need the Spirit of God to blow in them. Verse 11, he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off." Man, does that sentence not sound like it could be said by anybody living in the world today? My hope is gone and I feel cut off. Anybody been there? Your hope is gone. You feel like you're cut off from life. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my Spirit in you and you will live. I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken. I have done it, declares the Lord. Hope. Their hope was gone until someone came in and prophesied life to their bones. Until God empowered and said, I'm calling you out of your graves. He says that phrase more than once. I will call you out of your graves. I will call you out of your graves. And you will know I am the Lord. Salvation and life. His Spirit in you. To settle you. Settle you. Settle. Settle. We have a whole world settling for less than God's best. A whole world settling for less than God's best. That's not the kind of settling God wants us to do. He wants the Spirit of God to be in us, for His breath to be in us, for us to be truly alive and not settling, but be settled. I'm not settling for the world or for less than what God has for me. I am settled in who God is. I am settled in who I am. And then if I am settled in Him, then it does not matter where I lay my head. It does not matter what comes my way. It does not matter what I face, because no matter what, if I am settled in Him, then I am alive in Him. I have been buried with Christ and risen again with Him, and I have life in Him, His Spirit. I want to start to close out today with some reminders of the Spirit of God and what it means. In Romans chapter 15, verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hey, here's the deal. There is no overflowing with hope without the power of the Holy Spirit. There is none. Langston Hughes has a poem where he talks about a hope deferred makes the heart sick. A hope deferred. Hope deferred makes our world sick. When there is no possibility of things being better, people's hearts are sick. The only way to have hope, true hope, is for the Spirit of the living God to live inside of you. In Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I love this verse because y'all know I was raised crazy charismatic at times, and people love this word power like that means they're going to go out here and shoot lightning out of their fingers. No, the power is not so that you can be boss. It says, I will give you power to do what? To be my witnesses in all of the world. You have to have the power of the Holy Spirit to go into dark places. You have to have the power of the Holy Spirit to walk in. Let me tell you something. These teachers in this room, we're getting ready to go back to school. I need the power of the Holy Spirit when I walk into my classroom, because I do not know what I will face, because these young people are dealing with things that they cannot even fathom, because they are not supposed to have to fathom this. And it does not matter what school you're at, what age they are. Young people are in a daily battle. And as teachers and educators and lunch ladies and bus drivers and janitors, anyone who comes in contact with a young person, you are fighting against spiritual powers in heavenly places. And you have to have the power of the Holy Spirit in you to be His witness. You have to. And you may not be able to stand in front of your classroom and begin to pray in the Holy Spirit, but I will tell you right now, you will do it under your breath. You will walk by someone and you will begin to pray over them, because the power of the Holy Spirit is a real thing, and it is the only thing that has the power to break chains. It is the only thing that can deliver and set people free. And you carry that in you. I may not be able to solve every problem, but I can stand in the power of the Holy Spirit beside someone and say, I believe that God will come through. John 14, 26 says, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said. Oh, thank God for the Holy Spirit, because my memory is going. I don't know why I walked in Kroger. I can't remember my password to the copier. But the Holy Spirit will remind me of God's word. He will remind me. and he will guide me if I will let him and if I will hear him. And then Romans 8:26, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with wordless groans. If life is hard, have you been there where I don't even have words to say except Jesus, and groans because life is hard and this world is not my home, and I need the Holy Spirit to intercede for me, for life. He does that. In Galatians 5:20-23, this is the hard one. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, which is patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. That's my prayer for this year for myself. Is can I live in step with the Spirit? But before we get to that, our kiddos are starting to make their way back in. We're going to be praying over everybody in just a minute. Before I can even get in step with the Spirit, I have to prophesy to myself. I have to prophesy to this dead human body and ask the Spirit of the living God to bring his breath to me. Prophesy means to say it will happen. So today I'm going to prophesy the word of God over our lives. And you may feel pretty good with these check boxes, and that's good, but I guarantee you that there's somebody in your life right now who you are praying for, whose life needs you to prophesy to it. So Lord, I prophesy to these bones, and I pray that they, in your power, would be assembled back together, that you would put broken things back together, that you would renew the joints, the ligaments, the bones, the muscles, the tendons of our hearts, of our spirits, of our relationships, of our families. God, we pray right now and we prophesy the reassembling of your people, the wholeness of your people. Lord, today I prophesy breath in their lungs. I pray, Lord, for the wind of your Spirit to blow into their lives. That, Lord, they would be reminded with every inhale of their physical breath that they breathe in your Spirit. That your word promises us that the moment that we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, that your Spirit is deposited in us. And there is an unending supply of your Spirit in us to bring breath to our lungs. I prophesy life to our bodies, to our spirits. This is not some mumbo jumbo kind of thing here. This is just the word of God. Life is difficult. Jesus is good. This is not my home. But while I'm here, I believe, Lord Jesus, that you will put breath in my lungs, that you, God, will bring life to every part of me, that you will blow your Spirit everywhere that I go. Lord, I pray and I prophesy life over us today. And Father, I prophesy purpose for those who are unsure of their purpose. I prophesy purpose today. Strength to them. Force, ability, resources. I prophesy purpose to their life. Take a deep breath and live. Take a deep breath and live. This summer when we were at camp, our young people begin to just confess sin to each other and begin to pray for each other. And that was the night after I preached a version of this message that we baptized 14 kids. I baptized 14. Denise also had some that she baptized. Part of that is the symbolic nature. It says that part of baptism is that when we are buried with Christ and we are resurrected to new life, resurrected to new life. Being followers of Jesus does not mean that we are immune to life dealing its blows. It does not mean that we are perfect and we should have it all together. In fact, that's part of the problem that the world has right now with the church, is that for too many years, the church painted a picture of perfection, and behind it, the walls were crumbling because people were broken and they were dry and there was no life. And it was all a facade. And that is not what God has called us to. The Lord has more for us. And it's not about more in our pockets. And it's not about more podiums and more places of importance. I promise you, that's not what it's about. No, He has breath for us so that we can live every single day. So we need His Holy Spirit. I need it. I need it. And not in some joking way. I make jokes about the Holy Spirit holding me back, and He does. Let's be real. I need it just to be okay. I need His Spirit in me to remind me that He's in control when I'm not. I need His Holy Spirit in me to remind me that my children are going to be okay and I can't make that happen. I need Him in me, that Holy Spirit constantly helping me breathe. Because what is Psalms 34:18 says, the Message version, if you feel like you've been punched in the gut, He's there to help you catch your breath. I love that version of it about God being near to the brokenhearted. Can we today take off the filter that makes our brokenness look put together and invite, prophesy to our hearts and minds the Spirit of God in us? We're going to stand today and we're going to sing this song. And when we get done singing it, I'm going to pray. So don't get out of here, because we're going to pray over our kids and young people. But for a moment, as we sing this song, I just want you to breathe in. It is His breath in our lungs. And listen, today, if you are feeling punched in the gut, if you are feeling broken, if you are feeling far from God, I'm here to prophesy life over you today. God will put you together. He does not intend for you to live broken. I prophesy life over you today. Life over your situation. Life over your children. Life over what's going on in you. Jesus doesn't look at anything and see death, because death does not coincide with Him. He only sees life. Look at your life through the lens of the God of life and the wind of His Spirit. Let's take just a minute to worship today.